Blog Talk Radio. Anita Stewart with Challenging the Rhetoric and Wise Women Media Radio. You can find us at both of those websites, challengingtherhetoric.com and wisewomenmediaradio.com. This is part two of my December 13th interview with Dr. Rima Labo, where we talk about big medicine, big pharma, vaccines, and vaccine mandates. So please listen, share the show with your friends, and thank you for listening to us. Part two.
In order not to lose their jobs. That doesn't have to happen anymore because you already have a legal right. But let's say you're not unconscious, Anita, and you go to a doctor's office or you're at work in a hospital or a health care facility, and you're approached with a syringe. Well, you know, your shots aren't up to date, or here's a new shot and you need this one, and you say, no thanks, and you whip out your assertion document, which is an advanced vaccine directive, which has the same force as a legal will, which has the same force as a living will, any other advanced health directive. You whip it, and it's very carefully researched as to exactly how it's worded, and you whip it out and you say, I am exerting my informed consent rights. One of two things will happen. Either they'll say, well, I never heard of no advanced vaccine directive, you're getting a vaccination, or they will say, our policy is that we're going to vaccinate you. At that point, the card says, and you will remind whoever it is with the syringe, that if they continue and violate your expressed health care wishes, they personally can be guilty of malpractice, assault, battery, and civil malfeasances as well. The likelihood is that they'll back off and they'll go refer it to the attorney. Somehow you do get vaccinated, now you have significant legal grounds. And although you will have been vaccinated, you're also going to wind up being a very wealthy woman. So we know that the lawyers know about this. We know that the doctors and nurses do not yet know about this. But the more people that carry this card, the more powerful it becomes. We are urging people to provide these cards as stocking stuffers. Every single person that you care about needs their own card. It's a signable card, and it needs to have the person's name and the date. We give instructions on our website, drrimatruthreports.com, how parents should sign for their children. The babies need one in the diaper bag. The school kids need one in the backpack. You need one in your wallet or purse. Your spouse needs one in their purse or wallet. This is of enormous importance because the vaccines are coming. And, Anita, they include the behavioral vaccines, the ones that literally destroy a part of your brain in order to make it impossible for you to be, let's say, angry, or to question orders, or to refuse to comply with whatever it is that you're being told. These, and they're also designed to change your DNA. So this is no small matter. Every vaccine is toxic. For instance, for every 1.3 herpes simplex or shingles vaccines that is given, there is an adverse event of a serious level. That means that virtually everybody has an adverse event. And oh, by the way, the shingles vaccine does not work. Dangerous does not work, but still being recommended by the CDC. And oh, by the way, who is the CDC? The CDC, like the Federal Reserve, is a private money-making corporation. And guess who funds it? Well, the United States government puts in some funding, but as with the FDA, most of their funding actually comes from, what do you know, Big Pharma. Let me do that. Not only does the shingles vaccine not work, but it causes devastating side effects. Nonetheless, the CDC continues to recommend it, as do other supposed health agencies. Why would they do that? Well, of course, profit, and also because it creates changes in the DNA that are helpful if you want the population to sicken and die. And by the way, let's talk for a moment about who the CDC is. The CDC is a private corporation. The CDC
right.
is funded primarily by the pharmaceutical industry. Yes, your tax dollars do get poured in, but it is primarily, like the World Health Organization, a private pharmaceutical marketing arm. And the people who sit on the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, the ACIP committee of the CDC, have deep, deep financial and personal professional connections with the pharmaceutical industry. They vote for the vaccines that they hold the patents on to be approved, like Dr. Paul Offit, that rhymes with profit.
Right.
He's the head of infectious diseases at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Paul Offit voted for the Rotatec vaccine for rotavirus to be approved, even though in the developed world, rotavirus is a completely inconsequential disease. And he, in the first year, apparently made approximately $143 million from that approval, which he voted for. He did not recuse himself. He did not say, well, I have a conflict of interest. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly. Oh, no. Conflicts of interest are the rule of the day. And so these horribly corrupt people, and Janet Fellin just did an excellent piece of research showing
right.
the personal and professional corruption of these felons who make these vaccine decisions. Then when they make a recommendation, the states or the hospitals or whomever will turn it into a requirement. And let me very quickly say that you may think that vaccines are found to be both safe and effective before they're approved, and you'd be wrong. Under U.S. law, vaccines must be both safe and effective before they are deployed. But safe is determined to mean that when something more toxic, such as thimerosal by itself or a rabies vaccine is given, this particular vaccine that's being tested has less side effects, less adverse effects, fewer deaths than the more toxic material. And that effective has been redefined to mean that there are antibodies produced. Well, when you put poison into the human body, it will produce antibodies. But those antibodies have no ability to prevent disease. And in fact, in the only placebo-controlled double-blind study ever done on a vaccine, the flu vaccine, it was found that the people who were vaccinated were 5 times more likely to get serious consequences, including death, multiple hospitalizations, than the people who had not been vaccinated, and they were more likely to get the flu as well. in Britain, the increase in winter deaths, which so far is 151% more than expected, is laid squarely at the flu vaccine, which the National Health Service admits only protects people 3.4% of the time, and I would question whether that number needs to be zero. So you need to have a vaccine exemption ability, and just saying no, no, no does not constitute an effective and legal assertion of your vaccine refusal. Just saying no is not good enough. State exemptions, if you're lucky enough to have one, can be canceled, as we saw in California with SB 77. There is 722. Sorry about that. This Advanced Vaccine Directive card is essential because it complies with U.S. and international law. If you're listening to this in Canada, Australia, the U.K., Panama, it doesn't matter. As long as your country has ratified the Geneva Convention, and 126 countries have, then this applies to you and your family, and you must take advantage of this this option if you don't want to be vaccinated. If you don't understand science or physiology or politics and you think being vaccinated is perfectly okay, please don't even think about getting this card.
Dr. Rima, this is something I'm not sure I understand. I've been talking to people about vaccinations, and of course, you know, we see all the back and forth and the pushback on social networks like Facebook and Twitter. What is the mental disconnect with parents regarding their children, regarding the childhood diseases, and why, when you give them evidence that these vaccinations don't work, or you tell them about the shedding, right away, the first thing they're going to say is that's, you know, corrupt science and you're an anti-vaxxer and all this so-called language like anti-vaxxer. I don't understand where that came from, but all I'm saying is that is how they refute it. They refute it by saying that what I'm saying is not science.
Well,
what would you say to people?
Right. What I say is to people like Melinda Gates and to the Prime Minister of Australia who pushed through their no jab, no pay, unconstitutional, illegal law, and to Senator Pan, I say debate me. I have an open call for a public debate. You bring your facts and science, and I'll bring my facts and science. And we'll do this in the open. And what happens is that they vaporize.
Yeah.
And by the way, I use the term anti-vaxxer. I am a vaccine refuser. I have a video on our YouTube channel, which is YouTube/Natural Solutions, saying be a vaccine refuser with me. And I've asked people to send me a 30-second to 60-second video, which I post, on why they are vaccine refusers. Yes, we are vaccine refusers. I'm also a plague refuser. I'm also a poison refuser. I prefer not to be annihilated by your particular method of annihilation, globalist. Yes, I'm an anti-vaxxer, and there's nothing wrong with being an anti-vaxxer. I'm also not really big on getting infected with infectious diseases if I can avoid it. Now, the propaganda is deep, and the propaganda is magnificent. But then there's another factor, too, and that is fluoride. Never underestimate the impact of fluoride on the inability of people to think clearly. Fluoride not only makes you less fertile and not only calcifies the pineal gland, fluoride also reduces your IQ, but most importantly, fluoride is used because it makes people apathetic. If people are believing and defending the vaccination propaganda in the face of facts, I often say to them, you need a new toothpaste.
Right.
And that stops the conversation. They say, what? What are you talking about? And I explain to them that they are being literally poisoned at the cellular level in order to make them apathetic. And then I explain about Joseph Stalin's gulag filled with political prisoners who were impossible to control because they knew they were all going to die anyway. And the Russian scientists discovered that if they fluoridated the water, they became tractable. They became apathetic, and you could do anything with them and to them. The Nazis at that point were the great buddies of Joseph Stalin, so the Nazi scientists learned about fluoridation from the Gulag scientists in Russia, in Siberia. And then during the Nazi Holocaust period, slave labor and concentration camp inmates had their water fluoridated. It helped control them dramatically. Then toward the end of the Second World War, the German populace was saying, hey, wait a minute, we were supposed to win this thing hands down. There wasn't supposed to be bloodshed and suffering, and our cities are getting firebombed and wiped out. What the hell is going on? And the German high command said, well, looks like we're going to have to calm them down. So they fluoridated the entire German population. During Operation Paperclip, those same fluoride scientists were brought to the United States, and they began conducting experiments. Nazi-like, they experimented on children in Kingston, New York, and Salt Lake City. And when they found that the children whose water they had fluoridated, in one case for 9 months, in one case for a year, had more cancer, more tooth decay, more bone breaks, more diabetes, which was unheard of in children at that time, they published the results with the headings switched. And on the basis of those two very, very poor and deceptive studies, the FDA said, yeah, right, let's fluoridate everybody, everybody's water. That's pregnant women, that's babies, that's old people, that's people with cancer. Let's fluoridate everybody. And then about 7 years ago, the Union of Concerned Scientists, an excellent organization, forced the FDA to re-examine the original data. And the FDA said, well, look at that. Look at that. These data were published with the headings reversed. And, yeah, it does say that all of these children fared much worse than the unfluoridated children. Well, we're not going to change our recommendations one whit. Why? Because they can bemuse, befuddle, and misdirect an apathetic population much more effectively than a mentally functional one.
So when we look at people like, say, elderly people in nursing homes, you can see how this same practice is being carried out. They're given just about anything that will make them compliant.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, whole facilities full of people that are, you know, have brain fog, can't make decisions on their own. You know, I'm not even counting the people that have Alzheimer's. I'm just counting the people that might be there for rehab or therapy or,
and that are,
you know,
drugged into submission. Now, let me talk about briefly, if I may, Anita, what do you do? There are real infectious threats in the world. And the answer is you use nanosilver 10 parts per million, not colloidal silver, nanosilver. The FDA does not allow the following words to be used with any nutrient. Silver is a nutrient. You can't say that it treats, cures, prevents, mitigates, or diagnoses anything. So I'm not saying that it treats, prevents, cures, mitigates, or diagnoses anything. But I will tell you that the FDA, all exercise, they really got into a Twitter when we sent 200 bottles of nanosilver to Sierra Leone, and the Minister of Information there, Honorable Alpha Kanu, made a video saying that 500 people who had been diagnosed with Ebola were cured. He said cured, I'm not saying it, of Ebola. And they also got really upset when we released declassified information, a declassified study from the Department of Defense of the United States government showing that our nanosilver 10 parts per million prevented the Ebola virus from penetrating the cell and replicating, in other words, from creating a disease. I am not permitted to say that nanosilver is the universal antibiotic, because that would turn it into a drug. But I am permitted to tell you that nanosilver supports the immune system in such a way that infectious diseases, parasites, bacteria, mycoplasma, etc., are not a problem because the immune system is so robust and so well supported. It is a totally non-toxic substance. It will not turn you blue. Your baby can drink a whole bottle without any adverse effects. Obviously, you don't want that, but and that's available on our website as Dr. Rima recommends nanosilver 10 parts per million. Our website, may I give that?
Sure.
Is NSF, as in Natural Solutions Foundation, nsfmarketplace.com. And that's a level of protection that is of enormous importance. You can take it prophylactically. You can take it when you feel something coming on. It's the nutritional support that your immune system needs. The other thing that we have there is the remarkable CBD. We have our own brand new product called Upward CBD. It's the non-psychoactive part, which is an anti-inflammatory and which has well established medical and health-promoting benefits, which, of course, we don't have time to talk about now. These products support your health. Of course, they also support the Natural Solutions Foundation. And we are the most active, vigorous, and advanced health freedom organization in the world. We're also the largest. We very much would like you to go to our webpage, drrimatruthreports.com, fill in your email and become a subscriber to our free newsletter. We need you to know what's going on and to share what's going on and to take action, because what's going on is a concerted and conscious effort to eliminate 90% of the current population of the planet and to enslave, through Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030 measures, the remaining 10%. If that's okay with you, then I suggest passivity and inaction. If it's not okay with you, there's precious little time left to become informed, activated, and active.
Tell the listeners a little bit, I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but just in short, tell them a little bit about Agenda 21. And this is another topic that I've gotten a lot of pushback on from people, because it seems like liberals, and by liberals I mean most of the people that are Democrats, really don't want to talk about Agenda 21, and they think it's a conspiracy theory.
They sure do.
So explain why we know that it's not.
And I think this is very important. It has nothing to do with right side of the aisle, left side of the aisle. There is a bias toward normalcy. This is the way it's always been. I can't believe that there's anything fundamentally different. Everything has always been normal. I will continue to see everything as normal. There can't be people that bad out there, because I just have never met those people, or I've never recognized it if I have met them. So there can't be depopulationists out there, because that's too terrible for me to comprehend, and that would make the world not normal the way I know it. That's the normalcy bias, and it's very...
Yeah, it's cognitive dissonance. That's what it is.
Exactly. And also, remember that most of what we know about the world has come to us through beautifully crafted propaganda. And so we base our knowledge of the world on distorted premises that we've been taught to think of as real. Agenda 21 is not a conspiracy theory. It is an official United Nations document. Over about 20 years, the nations of the world met and crafted a document which is now almost impossible to find on the internet. However, if you go to our website, which is truthaboutagenda21.com, truthaboutagenda21.com, we managed to actually obtain a copy of the official United Nations document in English, and it's posted there. There's a free ebook available for you to download, and we have the document, and you can read it for yourself. And then the thing is that these globalists use shining words to cover despicable evil. So they use the word sustainability. Now, who would not be in favor of sustainability? When you think sustainability, Anita, you see green fields, blue skies, cows lowing in the distance, children frolicking happily, and all is well with the world. That's not what sustainability means. They take these lovely words that we think we understand the meaning of, and they give them special meanings. So when we say, sustainability, that's cool, what we're saying is, I will give up all my private property to you. I will allow myself to live in about 216 square feet, I'm sorry, 516 square feet of living space for the rest of my life. I will travel on bicycle or foot without a permit, but I will need a permit to get onto the light rail that connects the living centers called transit villages. No more cities, no more towns, no more states. Transit villages. I will agree to eat what you tell me to eat. I will agree that my children will be specifically undereducated because, and I quote, fully educated people use more than their fair share of the world's resources. Excuse me? What exactly does that mean? I will agree that my children will be underfed because, quote, people who grow to their full genetic capacity use more than their fair share of the world's resources. Again, ditto. Huh? What are we talking about?
It's not even ambiguous. It's very plain,
exactly.
You know, plain spoken.
But most people don't read the plain speak, and so they say, no, that couldn't possibly be. No. It is. And now Agenda 2030 is like Agenda 21 on steroids. By the way, what happens, this entire 10% of the world's population is to be compressed onto 1% of the world's landmass. The other 99% of the world's landmass is to be, quote, rewilded.
We are going to stop the interview there, and I want to thank you for listening to Challenging the Rhetoric. You can find the audio files for this show, both sections 1 and 2, on challengingtherhetoric.com and wisewomenmediaradio.com. I encourage you to check out the sites that are also going to be linked there so you can reach Dr. Rima Labo yourself. And do your own research. Thank you so much for taking part by listening. And be sure to share these shows with friends. And hit us up on the GoFundMe link on both sites so we can keep these shows coming to you. Thank you.